Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Welcome to our distinguished guest, Governor Ron DeSantis.
Thank you so much. Oh, thanks so much. It's great to be here. It's great to be in South Bend on a football weekend. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I committed to come here this summer for this weekend thinking that tomorrow's game would be a clash of two top 10 ranked teams. Florida State didn't exactly keep up their end of the bargain, so I'm looking forward to seeing the game tomorrow and being in my first Notre Dame football game, but I'm definitely anticipating a little waking up the echoes and cheering her name.
So when I talked to Governor DeSantis last Monday, I guess it was, right before the election, and when we were talking off the air, he had mentioned to me that he was going to Notre Dame, that he was taking his kids with him. I guess apparently the girls did not go, but his son went. And I knew he was going to give this speech, which I don't think got any publicity much, but I thought, well, hey, if the governor has given a speech to the Center for Democracy and Constitutional Studies at Notre Dame, I'm going to watch that speech. So I did, and it started off mostly as you do a good speech. You start off with a little bit of entertainment, and especially since it was on the eve of the Notre Dame FSU played? Did FSU play in this game? John, the Notre Dame game over the weekend, was FSU actually there, or was it just like the cheerleaders and the mascot showed up?
I think it was Leon County High School. who I believe showed up.
This was a bad game for FSU. I mean, they've had some bad games this year. This was a bad game. What was the final score, 45-3?
Yeah.
I think it was bad. Anyway, but, you know, as he does, building a bond with the audience.
Now, my first recollection of Notre Dame was 1988. I was about 10 years old. And I was mostly interested in baseball, but I started to watch football. And there was a really, really big game that year that they titled The Catholics versus the Convicts. The University of Miami Hurricanes versus the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now, as a 10-year-old kid growing up in Florida, I was rooting for the Convicts. I like the U, Jimmy Johnson, they had attitude, they wore the fatigues, and they seemed like they couldn't be beat. And at that weekend and that game happened, my grandparents happened to be in town visiting us in Florida, and they told me, you cannot root for Miami, you're Catholic, you have to root for Notre Dame.
Now, just as a super side note, it had never dawned on me how weird it is that Catholics feel like Notre Dame they always have to root for just because they're Catholic. Yeah, that's an odd thing. It'd be like, do all the Mormons root for BYU? Because, you know, in fairness, there are a lot of Catholic schools. Not in football, most of the Catholic schools are not competitive. But like in basketball, you know, there's loads of Catholic schools that are competitive in basketball, in Division I basketball. Anyway, I thought that was interesting because I'm not a Catholic. I never think that way. Protestants would never unite over something like that. We're Protestants. Come on. That's not how we work. Come on. Have you met us? Anyway, he goes on.
Now, I think it should just be said, this whole idea of Catholics and convicts, looking back, very, very unfair to turn the game the Catholics versus the convicts. Not all the players on Notre Dame were Catholic. Come on.
Good reversal. Like it.
What I know about that game was when I was watching it, I've since been able to learn a little bit more, partially because I've developed a friendship with the coach, Lou Holtz. And I think if you remember that game, there was a big melee on the field during the warm-ups. Miami and Notre Dame, when you fight in football, you got pads, it's kind of ridiculous, but they're fighting. And so that settles down, they go back in the locker room, and Coach Holtz is addressing this, and he said, if you do anything but uphold the, unless you uphold the highest standards of sportsmanship, unless you represent our school in the best possible way, you are not going to see a lick of playing time the rest of this season. You want to go fight after the game in the parking lot for them, you know, that's fine, but you have an afternoon to play and a lifetime to remember this game. But just do me one favor. If you do fight him in the parking lot, save Jimmy Johnson's ass for me. And that was all that needed to be said, and the rest is history, and Notre Dame won the national championship.
There you go. And also a good lesson learned from that encounter.
And I have learned, because I've done events with Coach Holtz, I have very few rules about, you know, anything I ever do with speaking. I will never speak after Coach Lou Holtz, ever.
Oh, my God. That's just good advice. Have you ever seen Lou Holtz in person?
Yes, I have.
Me too. And no, you never.
No, you don't want to follow that.
You'd be a fool to follow him in speaking. So the speech was, of course, not about, you know, Notre Dame and Catholicism and, you know, Miami versus Notre Dame or anything like that. The speech was really, now a lot of the stuff that he said in the speech was sort of what I would call like standard DeSantis stuff, which is talking about the, like, the history of his tenure as governor and some of the things that happened when, for example, dealing with COVID, you know, and like his view of what he's supposed to do as a governor. There was some very interesting stuff about what is conservatism and, you know, commentaries about kind of current events and stuff. But, you know, some of the stuff I've heard the governor speak so many times now, especially when we heard him in person at the RNC, that, you know, it's a little bit of a rehash. But if you haven't heard him say it, it's still, he's telling you good things. It's just, you know, if you've heard him talk enough, it's kind of like, you know, if you've seen one Trump rally, you've seen a lot of his rally. You haven't seen all of them because they're always a little bit different. But, you know, he kind of has his standard DeSantis as governor talking points, which is not a bad thing. Play the hits. That's what people want to hear.
There are certain things that I think you have to do if you want to be an effective leader in this day and age. First of all, you must protect the people you represent from the pathologies of the modern American left.
Exactly. So what are the manifestations of that?
And we saw this during the COVID pandemic when they went absolutely crazy with these public health experts. Jay Bhattacharya was one of very, very few who actually stood up and said the truth. Most of them were doing politics, not evidence-based medicine. And if you want to go back and see that in proof, just remember, they were telling us you were a bad person if you left your house. Then all of a sudden, you had the BLM riots and protests, and hundreds of public health officials wrote a letter saying that while you shouldn't leave your house for normal circumstances, it was consistent with public health to go out and do protesting with many thousands of people. That was a fraud, and we protected Floridians from that. We were not going to let our state descend into some type of Faucian dystopia where people's livelihoods were destroyed and their freedoms were curtailed.
Yeah, no, and that's of course, that's a story that he's taught many times, or he's told many times.
We also protect our children from the pathologies of the left, and part of that is taking on teachers' unions and making sure that the interests of students and parents are what is served by our school system. School unions have become nakedly partisan, and they try to use our kids to advance their ideological agenda. They fought me on having kids in school at all during COVID. We beat them. They fought me on universal school choice. We beat them. And to boot, we've now enacted paycheck protection so they cannot do automatic deduction of union dues. And guess what? Most teachers don't want any part of it anymore because now they have a meaningful choice. We've also stood up.
Which is great. Really, really good stuff. And very much argues in his favor as being effective at fighting these institutions that are propagating things that are contrary to the concepts of the founding. In fact, that was kind of the context here, as he was saying that, look, you know, some people think that conservatism is all about just preserving whatever the status quo is. Well, if the status quo has become deranged, you know, a conservative doesn't look at the status quo and say, well, they won, it's all over, we're done. You look at this, you know, the last couple of decades and you say, wow, we have really veered off track with some of our institutions, such as, you know, surrounding media, surrounding education, surrounding even, you know, science and medicine. And you say, we need to protect our people from what has become aberrant thinking. And so we need to reorient around what was traditionally the values of the country and of, you know, free and open competition of ideas and of protecting kids from lunacy that we need to. That's why we, you know, fighting against the status quo winds up being a rebellious act of conservatism, weirdly.
We've also protected our kids from indoctrination in the classroom. The goal of our schools is to educate our kids, to empower parents to be involved in our kids' education. It is inappropriate to be teaching a kindergartner that they're born in the wrong body or that their gender is a choice. And when we have big, powerful corporations like Disney, we're willing to stand up, fight them, and defeat them to protect our parents and our kids in the state of Florida.
Which, of course, is what he has done through his tenure, is kind of, you know, fight back and reorient. And the one thing I will tell you, and we're going to cover this, you know, more throughout the day, because I thought he had a lot of very interesting things to say in this speech, much of which I had not heard him say before, particularly. But the general idea or the takeaway for me is not a surprise, but sometimes you hear politicians speak and they haven't really thought through political philosophy very much. They haven't really thought through, you know, deep threads of core thought that undergird things like the Constitution. They're more superficial. They're, you know, they might know issues. They might know arguments for issues like, you know, gun control or abortion or something like that. But, you know, they've never gone below that next level down. And sometimes they haven't even gone that far. But, you know, you start to get 2, 3, 4 levels down in the substructure of these ideas. And really looking at sort of core principles, things you take for starting points when you're reasoning through, you know, things like, do you take the Bible for granted? Do you take, if you're Catholic, do you take the authority of the church for granted? Do you take its vision of humanity for granted? Which is, by the way, not a perfectible or nearly good or generally good, but horribly, terribly flawed and sinful. Right? I don't mean to get off on all of this right now, but, you know, the basic worldview of the conservative is that people are sinful. You might not have ever heard it put that way, but the idea is that people are sinful. Therefore, if you give them power, what happens? Bad things. Because they tend to want to oppress each other and abuse each other and steal and take advantage of each other. So what you have to do is you have to separate power in different structures of the institutions of government where power is likely to accumulate, and you have to split them up, create checks and balances. Why? Because people are sinful. The reason we have our system of government is because the Founding Fathers believed in the basic elements of the Christian worldview that people are sinners and not good. You know, if you think that people are good, well, you can set up a system where they have lots of power, or where you can even have a monarchy, or, you know, a singular dictatorship. Why? Like the communist system. Because you put the good people in charge and they have all the power to make all the good decisions, to do the good things that good people do. Because people aren't fundamentally sinful. They're good if you can just find the right ones. Not that all people are good, but they're basically good. They tend towards good. You can perfect them through education. Conservatives don't believe that. Conservatives believe that you can make people a little bit better through education, but basically God saves people through grace from their basic nature of being horrible, terrible, sinful people. You know, if you've never heard that before, man, I'm so sorry, because that's like basic civics, right? But we don't teach this stuff. I mean, I've been on the air for 10 years. I've probably mentioned this like 5 times, maybe in 10 years. Like, it ought to be taught more often. It doesn't get taught more often. Anyway, so he was kind of walking through all of that stuff and, you know, why this and why not that. And my point is, you get down to that like 4th level of presuppositions behind somebody's, you know, view on particular issues. And it's really interesting. And he did for him. There are other politicians who those levels don't exist. I mean, look, I have a lot of different things to say about Trump, but Trump does not have levels 3 and 4. It doesn't work that way. He's intuition, he's gut, he's hunch. And if you ask him to, you know, like, tell me what your favorite Federalist paper is, DeSantis has an answer. And Trump might have heard of him. Now, that doesn't mean he's a terrible president. It just means that intellectually, when you look at the architecture of his beliefs, it's not there. And again, that doesn't make him a terrible president or a terrible person. He's just not an academic. He's not an intellectual in the sense that somebody like DeSantis, you know, really is. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, important note. Burgess is closed this morning. So the CSX rail crossings at Hancock, Oakfield, and Airport are all closed, and Burgess. So if you're taking kids to Brown Barge or West Florida High School this morning, you have to go around. That's it. You have to go around. You take I-10 to Davis to Burgess, or you take Brent to Ross and to Hancock. Like, and then maybe you go back and forth between Burgess and Hancock on like Sarah or White Oak or something like that. But you cannot get through unless you drive through the barricades and don't completely close off the street, as I may have seen somebody do this morning before they actually start ripping up the road. It's closed but not impassable, and I'm not advising you. But that's going to be a super hot mess this morning for traffic at the schools. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st. This year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent.
Hi, I'm Chad Piku with Affiliated Insurance. I want to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meet your needs, not mine. Make enrollment hassle-free this year. Call 850-477-5840 and schedule an appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
You've got a Pepto predicament, moviegoer.
Hey, I can hear your stomach grumbling.
Sorry, I ate that entire tub of popcorn with extra butter.
You overdid it, and now your movie has turned into a blockbuster bellyache. Undo it with Pepto.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Pepto chewables provide fast 5-symptom relief, so you can focus on the action on the big screen instead of in your stomach. When you overdo it, undo it with Pepto.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President-elect Trump is reportedly set to name Florida Senator Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. If selected, Rubio would become the first Latino to serve in that position. A new report says
First woman and first Latino. He's hitting all the hits.
Absolutely.
All right, go on.
A new report says drinking apparently increased during the COVID-19 pandemic. I can confirm.
You don't say.
And didn't decrease after life started returning to normal. The study covered drinking levels in 2018, 2020, and 2022. It was published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine. And boy, this interesting story coming out of Haiti.
Oh, God.
Spirit
this story,
Airlines.
This is crazy.
American Airlines and JetBlue now all suspending flights to Haiti after a Spirit plane was apparently hit by gunfire Monday as it was coming in for a landing in Port-au-Prince. The aircraft was flying in from Fort Lauderdale and ended up being diverted to an airport in the Dominican Republic where it landed safely. But a flight attendant was actually grazed by a bullet when all that happened.
So that's the Spirit Airlines flight. There was a JetBlue flight leaving that also got hit by gunfire. Two planes. And have you seen any of the pictures of like the Spirit Air flight? You know, bullet holes on the outside, and the one that was internal like came up through the cabin and went up through the overhead bin. And I don't know if she was hit by the bullet or if she was hit by something, you know, a piece of, you know, plastic that blew off or something. We don't really know. It's bad. The gangs have been in control of Haiti for like a year. And they are threatening to blockade off, and I mean, to reroute to the Dominican Republic, right, which is the other half of the island. But the State Department has been warning people not to go to Haiti for a while now. I'm surprised that there are still, like, four airlines that are flying, or four flights or four airlines, maybe it's both, that have been flying there. Like, that flight was from Fort Lauderdale.
Right, yeah.
People were going to Haiti on what, vacation? Who's going to Haiti on vacation? I mean, maybe for mission trips or something like that, or for relief and aid work.
Well, you should see the vacation package rates. They're phenomenal.
$14 for 3 weeks. I mean,
hey, in
man.
This economy, you got to go where you got to go.
Man, it's scary stuff. Now, somebody might be asking, well, I thought like cabin pressurization meant that if a bullet went through a plane, that would be a problem. They were at low altitude. They were at like 550 feet. Although I'm surprised, actually, I'm surprised that the JetBlue flight, I guess, continued all the way back to Florida or wherever it was going. So maybe it wasn't in the cabin. I'm just not sure. We're kind of learning details still this morning. So yeah, crazy story. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, by the way, Marco Rubio, who said that would happen?
I don't know anybody that said that. I really don't.
This is going to get boring. No. I like Elise Stefanik for UN ambassador. She's feisty. I like her. Mike Walls is now going to be the national security advisor from Florida. I love that. I love that for him. There had been talk of him being SecDef, but national security advisor makes perfect sense. I want him in the president's ear all the time on foreign affairs. And for Secretary of State, that's perfect because Latin America is really his passion, Marco Rubio, and getting our control over the Western Hemisphere is a big deal for America.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President-elect Donald Trump quickly filling up his cabinet.
Governor Kristi Noem could reportedly be named Secretary of Homeland Security, which has oversight of everything from Customs and Border Patrol to FEMA and the Secret Service. Trump is also expected to nominate Florida Senator Marco Rubio as Secretary of State.
Fox's Brooke Singman reporting. Democrat Ruben Gallego defeats Republican Kari Lake for the Senate seat to become the first Latino U.S. Senator from Arizona.
Republicans, we have 53 seats. Democrats at 47. That adds to Democrats' victories in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nevada, among the most competitive races this election cycle. Republicans were able to flip seats in West Virginia, Montana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, the senator-elect, is a five-time House member and an Iraq War veteran. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got mostly cloudy skies. It is 71 degrees in Pensacola. And videos on social media have gone viral showing a fan brawl last Friday at the Pensacola Ice Flyers hockey game. Officials say an investigation is currently underway and there are charges pending against a few people.
From what we understand, someone sitting in someone else's seat is what started the argument. As to who threw the first punch, we're still investigating that.
And that is PPD spokesman Mike Wooden. He tells Channel 3 at least five people are believed to have been involved in the melee, but as of the last report, four people were being charged with array and simple battery. Their identities have not yet been released. Wood says he's hoping that this will remain an isolated incident. The Ice Flyers did release a statement yesterday. They say the team does not condone any of the actions related to that incident in the stands and that they'll continue working with the Bay Center and with law enforcement to ensure that Ice Flyer games remain safe, fun, and family-friendly. Well, in less than 2 weeks now, the annual Fill the Mayflower Food and Fund Drive gets underway. You can help fill the Mayflower truck this Thanksgiving season with healthy food for children, families, senior citizens, veterans, and individuals in need. The event brought to you, of course, by News Radio 92.3 and Cat Country 98.7 with media partner Channel 3, WEAR-TV, and that being held at the Cordova Mall across from Ascension Sacred Heart on Friday, November 22nd. An $11.5 million beach renourishment on the agenda this week for the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners.
So this is all federal and state dollars being used to help renourish our beaches, to protect the shoreline and help protect from future storms.
That is Santa Rosa County Commissioner Colton Wright. And he says the project is needed because of Hurricane Sally, really. And that means so much of the cost would be funded by reimbursements from FEMA and the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. That work would include sand restoration, berms, dunes, and it would extend from east of the Navarre Beach Pier to just west of the National Seashore. Well, an update on that fatal crash on I-10 that happened last Wednesday. FHP says the 14-year-old cantonment boy that was a passenger in an SUV in that crash died from his injuries over the weekend. 49-year-old Sean Wilbur is now being charged with vehicular homicide and DUI manslaughter. He's currently being held in the Escambia jail with no bond pending a hearing. Police in Jacksonville are now cracking down on people violating the state public camping law. Last month, that new law went into effect. It bans people from sleeping overnight in public places. Well, in Jacksonville, the sheriff's office had been issuing warnings to people that were breaking the law, but now they have started making arrests. Homeless people say they're not sure where they can go because the shelters in that part of the state are mostly full. A Florida congressman could become part of Donald Trump's administration. Reports coming out now saying that Republican Michael Waltz will be President-elect Trump's new national security advisor. He represents District 6 in North Central Florida. He was first elected in 2018, served in the Army in Afghanistan, and was a Green Beret. Pilots of Allegiant Air have voted in favor of a strike. The Teamsters Union, which represents 1,300 Allegiant Airlines pilots, say members have voted to approve a strike if a new agreement is not reached. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
40% chance of rain as we go through the early part of the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain, high near 76. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it is 70 degrees. We've got some light rain across the area. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Bitcoin was trading just shy of $90,000 last night. The cryptocurrency was last higher by 12% at $89,100, according to Coinmetrics. Its price is expected by many investors to continue making fresh records on its way up to $100,000 later this year. Verizon Fios internet outages have impacted millions of customers on the East Coast, causing significant disruptions this morning. A map of user-reported issues showed the affected area spans about 300 miles from Philadelphia to Richmond, Virginia, according to Down Detector. Verizon has acknowledged the outages and said it is working to restore services. Tesla's 39% surge since Donald Trump's presidential election victory has lifted Elon Musk's net worth by about $70 billion. Musk spent at least $130 million to help Trump get elected. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 304. That's Your Money Now.
What do zero down payment, zero security deposit, zero due at signing, and zero first month payment add up to? The Volkswagen Sign and Drive event at Feedmore Imports. Yep, all those zeros add up to savings. When you sign and drive a 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or Taos, or the 2025 Volkswagen Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport, don't miss the return of Sign and Drive for the easiest way to lease a new Volkswagen for a full 36 months. And the best part? Volkswagen pays for your first month's payment. Plus, the 2024 Jetta SE is now on sale from $23,899. The 2024 Taos S, also from $23,899. And the 2024 Tiguan S, on sale from $27,899. It's the Sign and Drive sales event at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Book sales price and due at signing amount excludes tax, title, license options, dealer fees. No security deposit for well-qualified customers through VCI. Limited inventory available. Contact dealer for full offer details.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
People still trying to digest this election. Mm-hmm. And people are celebrating other people, are wondering what went wrong.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 after Pep Talk.
One of the questions is legacy media. Because the same talking
same
points.
It is, yeah.
And that for a lot of people, it really doesn't matter to them anymore.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 before Guy Benson. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
I need money, God, I had none. I'm
kind of strange. In Santa Rosa County, a normal year for us is 4 homicides. And out of those 4 homicides, usually 3 or sometimes all 4 will be domestic violence related. But for this, 2 in one day, 5 people dead in one day, it's never happened in Santa Rosa County since I've been here. And I started with Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office in 1993. And it's never happened like this.
So that was Sheriff Bob Johnson last week at a press conference talking about the horrific series of homicide, suicide, murder-suicides that have taken place in Santa Rosa County over the last several months, but 2 of them on the same day, and really a bunch of atrocious incidents. And, you know, wanting to raise awareness that this is happening, of course, talk about the facts that it's happening, what could be done about it. We talked with Sheriff Johnson yesterday on Veterans Day. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
And by the way, I just want to make sure that we mention, even though we're going to be talking about this, it is Veterans Day. I appreciate your service and, of course, the service of all of the other veterans that serve in Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. So thank you so much for that.
Yes, sir. My honor.
Absolutely. So this, I mean, no connection between these, but just terrible coincidental timing, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty horrific. And as I said in the press conference, you know, I think all of the year prior, we didn't have a murder suicide. And then this year, well, except for the one, and that's the same year. So we didn't have one that I can remember in the previous year. And then all of a sudden we have this. And it was pretty horrific.
And, you know, I know, you know, you and I talk a lot, Chip Simmons and I talk a lot about this problem of, you know, where violence comes from, and obviously it comes from crime, it comes from drugs and crime, but then this kind of like crimes of passion and or relationships is just, you know, domestic violence stuff is, it feels like it could be behind any door at any time.
Yeah, and what makes it so frustrating for law enforcement is there's no way for us to prevent it. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you prevent a domestic disturbance from occurring? And then even when you have a domestic disturbance and we respond to it, you know, we're interjecting ourselves into a problem that could have taken years to surface. And then we're supposed to correct it in, you know, an hour. It's pretty frustrating for law enforcement.
And, you know, look, the sort of crimes of romantic passion, they're common enough, and you get that people get crazy over relationships. It doesn't excuse anything. But it's sort of, you can process how that happens. The fourth of these incidents was an adult, like a 52-year-old son kills his parents, right? I mean, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the scary part about that is that, you know, people end up having a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And it just befuddles us as to why, number one, you would ever think even have it go through your mind for a second of killing your parents. Mm-hmm. I can't fathom it. So I have zero explanation for that one.
So in sometimes you guys have warning, like sometimes you get a call and then nothing comes of it, or there's no action to be able to be taken. Any of these like prior contacts, or were these all first contacts?
Yeah, one of the one that happened just before the guy killing his parents, we had a call out there for domestic violence. And when we get to a domestic violence call, we have to, if we can prove that violence occurred, we arrest the primary aggressor all the time. There's no, we'll let it slide to a warrant. But if we get out there and there's no evidence of any kind of violence and it's a verbal argument, obviously we can't make an arrest on that. And that's what occurred in the one, not with the parents, but the one prior to that one. We had come out, and I want to say it was like 6 or 8 months prior. It wasn't like the day before or anything. And we get out there and it's a verbal. And that's how they coded it. They wrote a report, which is required by Florida law, and left. And then, you know, months later, this occurs. And, you know, it's terrible.
And I know for some people, what they're probably thinking is, well, why don't police do more? Why don't we, you know, make the law so that they can be more active or be more invasive or aggressive or something like that? But you'd be arresting everybody because, you know, domestic disturbances are one of your top calls for service, right?
And it is. And who out there thinks that it would be okay to arrest somebody for arguing, just arguing verbally with their spouse. That's just, I would rather it get worse than us just be able to carte blanche arrest people just because they're arguing.
Yeah. To save the one, you want to save the one, but you'd be violating the hundreds, in order to make that happen.
Right. And it's kind of like, what they say, the law is written to where, 100 guilty people will go free before innocent person goes to prison. So, those odds are okay with me. I would much rather, have guilty people go free than me put an innocent person behind bars.
Right. Right. And that is absolutely the way our system is written, designed to be written that way. But I do want to just make sure that we mention this because we've talked about many times, abusive relationships never heal themselves, never get better, never get less. Yeah. He's not going to change. She's not going to change. It does go both ways. So leaving is almost always going to be the best alternative or getting counseling. Real professional intervention might make a difference. What's the resource? I want to make sure people know that there are resources.
Well, the first thing is we have a great group of ladies, victim advocates that if you're the victim of domestic violence, they have all kind of resources, Favor House. They can also walk you through the process of getting domestic violence injunctions. They're just very good at what they do, and you can reach out to them anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by calling dispatch and just saying, hey, I need to speak to a victim's advocate, right. And they will get a hold of one. And they're great ladies. Like I said, they've been doing it for years, and they know what they're doing.
Oh, that's good. And there are so many resources. Just somebody has to be willing to take a step and ask. And, that's exactly what we want you to do, because we don't want you to end up in the news.
Yeah, you've got to break the cycle. And it's not going to break itself, trust me. And if he says, I'll never do it again, I guarantee you it will only get worse.
100% of the people, you tell me if I'm wrong, 100% of the people that wind up in this kind of a situation have at some time in the past promised it would not happen again.
Oh, yes. I would agree. There's no way to know that for sure, but I guarantee you you're correct, yeah.
We did want to tell kind of a good story, which is, about a year ago you had this drug trailer demolition, cleared some land in the Midway area, and that has now produced a good result. You plowed the field and you grew a house.
Yes, exactly. So Habitat for Humanity built a house, and some lucky person is going to get to move into a brand new house. And it just shows you that, drug dealers and people who break the law a lot, every once in a while they do the right thing when forced to, because they seize their property.
And this is a part of the land trust in Santa Rosa County that Habitat's kind of shepherding through, right? So this will always be affordable housing forever.
Yes, correct.
Oh, man, that's good news. I saw you on the news with Colton Wright, Commissioner Colton Wright, doing this, and I just thought, hey, that's a nice, good thing that we can always talk about. Sheriff Bob Johnson, he's a Santa Rosa County Sheriff. Sir, as always, thank you for the time again. Thank you for your service. It just, can I take a quick second?
Sure.
A lot of veterans wind up serving in law enforcement.
Yes.
That seems like a very rich source of people who have gotten good quality discipline and training. And, would you be if it weren't for the veterans who serve in law enforcement? Am I right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, veterans already have that mentality of, hey, I want to help and protect people, because obviously when you go into the military, you're wanting to protect your country as a whole. And, you get out and you still have that drive and you still have that feeling. There's no better job in the world than law enforcement for a veteran.
Oh, that's great. And I know so many. What percentage of your force is veterans?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. I've never looked it up, but I guarantee, just command staff. Let's go command staff. I probably have lieutenants and above. I probably have about 50 of those lieutenants and above total, and I'd say probably easily over half.
Yeah.
Easily.
That's what that would have been my guess, is half would be in the vicinity. So, no, that's fantastic. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time, especially on Veterans Day today. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm going to tell you a bunch today because I know for the people to whom this matters, it's going to matter a lot. Airport Road is closed. The CSX crossing there. I checked it yesterday, and it seemed to be open through the night. So it's somehow, but it's been closed this morning as of 5 a.m. I don't think they've actually ripped up the road yet. I did see a car drive across. I don't recommend it. It's probably illegal. But that will not be the case later on this morning. And so for West Florida, that means Burgess, Hancock, Oakfield, and Airport are all closed. You just can't get there from here. So if you're taking kids to either West Florida or Brown Barge from the West, or just trying to get across town on Airport, oh, man. And there's no signs. There's no signs telling you Burgess is closed in advance, like out at, you know, Hilburn or something off of Creighton where it would be useful. There is a sign at Airport and the side roads off of 110. There's a sign off to the side of the road that says road closed ahead, and everybody was driving right past it. I was driving to go get the video because I shot some video of the machinery working, which is kind of interesting. It's on our Facebook page if you want to watch it and see how the railroad ties get removed and laid in place and then poked in. And then there's this one machine that comes by and lifts up the rail to slide the little attachment plates underneath it so that they can then put the what do you call them? Not nails, but the railroad ties in. Not ties. What do you call the spikes? Put the spikes in later. Anyway, it's a fascinating process. But I just watched, you know, several dozen cars drive right through the roadblock and then make a U-turn when they got there. And then they don't know the way around, so they're trying to drive around the neighborhoods north of PCC, which you cannot get out of those. There's no way through. So it's a mess, and it's going to be bad this morning for the schools. 550, as I worried. I had a brief moment of optimism where I was thinking CSX would leave Airport Road open, or sorry, Burgess open while it fixes Airport Hancock and Oakfield and just work on the three. And no, no, that's not how this is going to work. 550 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about getting a new car, you want to go to a place where they've got a good selection so you can really compare them to each other and figure out what you want to get. Frontier Motors has about 300 different cars, trucks, vans on the lot. And, you know, one of the things you might think, well, you know, I want to get this make or I want to get this model of car because that's what I know and I've driven that before and I just want to upgrade. Okay, fair enough. I totally get that. I'm that way too. You know, I'm a Honda Civic or Accord person. I totally understand. But one thing is when you change model years, you know, or generations or whatever, things may change in that car that you're not prepared for. And you may not like it. And so actually sitting in the car and fiddling with the knobs and adjusting the seat and driving it is an important check to make sure something hasn't changed that you don't really agree with, because that can happen. And then you want to look around. Well, again, at Frontier, you can stay in one place and look at several different varieties of that category, sedan or, you know, coupe or sports car or van or whatever. And then if they have it, you can buy good quality used cars. And if they don't have it, you can send them looking for it. They look for cars for people all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join singer and dancer Fall In and guests today at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Fall In will talk about her journey as the creator and star of her Michael Jackson charity show, A Thrilling Tribute at the Sanger, November 23rd. This year's Thriller performance will benefit Valerie's House, and tickets are available at the Sanger box office. Tune in and find out more on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say that the last time that Dirty Harry was paired on the radio with Nine Inch Nails was never in history. It's my guess. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay at Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Making history here. I love it.
Every day.
Love it.
Every day.
Well, today's a busy day for President Biden. He's got some meetings scheduled at the White House with two heads of state. He'll be meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Isaac Herzog late this morning as Israel faces a U.S.-imposed deadline to improve humanitarian situations in Gaza. He'll then be meeting with Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto later in the day. No injuries reported after an airplane made contact with a catering truck. The wing of a Delta Airlines Boeing 737 apparently clipped the catering truck on Monday while it was taxiing to the gate at Sacramento International Airport. Delta has not provided many details about that.
All right, John, we were just talking about this with the JetBlue story.
Right.
And, you know, one aviation guy saying, well, if a bullet had struck the hydraulic, you know, the plane could have come down. Yeah, unlikely, but also they have...
Well, they have multiple redundant systems. So if, you know, the number one goes out, we've got two and three to go.
Yeah, but also this thing of a plane striking the catering cart, whose fault is that more likely to be? The catering cart parked in the wrong place or the plane? The pilot can't drive the plane on the ground?
The catering truck.
Yeah, I would say so,
too. You've got to yield to the aircraft.
And they typically, when you're taxiing, you have lines for where things can't be. That are, right. You know, the perimeter line around where the plane drive line, the center line or whatever is, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that particular?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, bad on the case.
I don't know. Hundreds of hungry baggage workers disagree, John. hey, and I saw this
one. That is a rare use of the airplane as can opener.
Now, was that in Atlanta?
Where
Touché.
Was that?
Touché.
Where was that?
That was in California.
Oh,
Sacramento.
California. Okay, because Atlanta's crazy.
Sorry, we interrupted you, David. You had a third story.
I did. Abolitionist Harriet Tubman is now officially a general. Maryland Governor Wes Moore posthumously commissioned Tubman as a one-star brigadier general in the Maryland National Guard yesterday. A ceremony was held during a Veterans Day event. Of course, Tubman best known for her work in the Underground Railroad, but she also served a variety of roles in the Union Army.
And again, just to clarify, the posthumous applied to Harriet Tubman, not to Wes Moore, the governor.
Right, absolutely.
David, thanks so much for the update.
Thank you, Andrew.
That was a bad joke from yesterday that I had to bring back. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. Do I want to talk about this story? You know, the world is just full of dumb things. And there's a lot of times that the dumb thing I just kind of pass on because I think, why bother? This is so dumb I have to talk about it. Okay, this is that level of dumb. You've got Costco. Costco is recalling 80,000 pounds of butter. 80,000 pounds of butter. 80,000 pounds of butter. Because the butter did not warn people on the label that there is a known allergen in the butter. Milk. The label doesn't notify people that the butter contains the milk. And therefore, they're recalling all the butter. Look.
I mean, who knew?
You're right. You know, industrial manufacturing the way it is these days, you never know if butter's got milk in it. I mean, who can be expected to memorize all of these things?
Oh,
right?
Crazy.
Who possibly? So I thought the best solution online was just, can you not just print a sticker and put it on the outside? Or deliver to my house. I mean, I can't keep 80,000 pounds of butter refrigerated, but that is a lot of butter. And butter is minimum $4 a pound now.
Is that why you lick the wrapper?
Yeah, no. But
oh, okay.
Just for pleasure. but no, butter is extraordinarily expensive now. It's crazy. And I can't keep up with all the Biden inflation effects. You know, like 1 week eggs are 30 cents a piece and they're 15 cents a piece. 1 week butter is, you know, $5 a pound and the next week it's $3 a pound, back to like semi-normal prices. So I just can't wait for the new administration to come in and everything will be cheap again. immediately, right? It's promised.
Listen on air.